Hi all. After a long gap, it's great to be back on Cricket Unplugged, and it's my pleasure to restart talking about the game I love the most. And it's a reboot, Cricket Unplugged reboot. So it's officially the start of Cricket Unplugged Season 2. And it's been something I wanted to do for a while, but for various reasons, I didn't get time to talk about the game and share my views about certain big events that happened in the last, in this year, the year gone by, should we say, 2023. So I think it's a fitting way to start my podcasting journey again after the gap. Talking about what events that happened in the year of 2023 in the game of cricket, and the to help me on this journey to start my podcasting out, or let's say to bring it back on track, is my close friend Mayur, who has joined us on this episode. So hi Mayur, welcome back on the podcast.
Hi Raghav, I'm happy to be on this podcast again. I'm excited to be on Cricket Unplugged once again, and happy to be speaking to all the listeners after on the eve of New Year's.
Yeah, that's correct. So I think it's been something I wanted to do. And then many people in my family circle, even my other friends, were saying, why you stopped podcasting this? So I was like, there are people who are giving this good vibes, if I had to call it. So I was like, let's start. Then what struck me was, what topic should we do this first episode on? Then it was actually a slightly easy thing. So we are coming to an end of 2023, you know. So just let's talk about what happened in the year gone by. So that is the theme of the episode for the listeners as well. I want to just put it out. So we are going to do a year-end special. So we are just going to discuss about what all happened in the year gone by. So before I start, Mayur, I wanted to ask you this simple question: is 2023 the most painful year for an Indian fan in a long time? Because they reached the World Test Championship final but couldn't get past Australia. They have probably, from performances, they seem to be the more deserving team, if I had to put it that way, to win the World Cup. But they are not able to go past Australia again in the World Cup final on November 18. And most recently, if our listeners also have been following the ongoing India tour of South Africa, so they dominated the limited overs segment. But then when they came to the test matches, they looked like almost school kids, if I have to, barring Virat Kohli and maybe KL Rahul, the first innings. So simple question is, has this been the most you have expected the Indian team to do well? And what do you think now on hindsight as we come to the end of the year?
So much like the recently hit Tamil movie what is that Arya's movie
Parampare. Yeah,
the
the boxing
boxing
movie, correct.
movie some Parambarai or something no? So much like in boxing terminology straight away Raghav has come geared with his mustache rolled up and throws his first punch at an Indian fan. I'm happy and gladly take it on the face value, and I shall give my counter punch. So being an Indian fan, it has not been all gloom and sadness. There have been moments of joy and happiness. From the start of the year, we had some great successes. The ODI series that we had, the Asia Cup, as well as the tremendous journey through the test, reaching the test series, test championship finals, as well as the World Cup finals, has been something of you know, and a milestone. It has indeed definitely been you know, disappointing to see that there has not been any trophies added to the trophy cabinet on the ICC shelf. But otherwise, there have been shoots of green shoots, and definitely there have been good you know, insights. We see that there is a lot of very good talent coming through into the playing 11, as well as we see that there is a lot of good reserves. For even on the test front, we've had some great success. We do not have much, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I think we just had one or two series in the start of the year. Did Australia tour India?
Yeah, Australia toured India, and that was about it, basically. And then India played the World's Semi final in June.
Yeah.
And now they are playing
yeah.
a series in South Africa. So
yeah.
it's hardly
yeah.
been
yeah.
anything. So.
Okay. Yeah. So that is that. In tests also, we've been formidably good, as well as, you know, in the limited overs game. With there is always the cloud of IPL that is looming for the Indian cricket. Hence, in a country of 1.4 billion people, you need to select a team that is going to be representing India on a world stage. It is definitely challenging. So there is going to be a lot of politics at play. There is going to be a lot of favoritism which comes into play. You know, like a supercomputer, if we can just make decisions and, you know, just say, this person has to play and this person should not play, life would be very much easier. But that is not the way life happens. Hence, in reality, there are some tough choices that we have to, you know, players have to take, and they need to live by those decisions. Hence, it has been a year to forget for India on terms of winning championships, but otherwise, it has been a good run. Hence, just to take just those two games at face value and forget the other successes is something that is, you know, unfair on the Indian cricket team, is what I feel.
No, I think I completely agree with your point that it's basically how do you want to analyze this? So, do you want to analyze this from the vantage of saying, are India great when it matters lesser? And when it matters the most, they just don't seem to have that, because so that is one way of looking at it. Or for example, in the year which just finished now, so we had World Test Championship final and we had the World Cup, the 50-over World Cup. And in between, India actually showed glimpses of complete dominance, be it the 10 matches in the World Cup or the Asia Cup. So they won a multinational tournament after a while. If we consider Asia Cup, to be honest, I don't rate Asia Cup that highly. So it's a good tournament to include teams like Hong Kong, UAE, Oman, to give them exposure. That's all I would take from a Asia Cup, even if Pakistan or Sri Lanka win, not only if India wins. So just to put it out there, I'm not being, let's say, biased against India here, but I'm just saying that I don't rate the tournament that as highly as a World Cup or any other ICC. So, but they did win that. So kudos to them for completely thumping. And I clearly remember now that I mentioned Asia Cup. They bundled out the host Sri Lanka for 51, I think. Siraj got a 6-4 in the final. So it's like everything going good, lot of positives. But this is one thing I have asked many people in my friends and family circle who are pretty much miffed about the fact that only result on the big day gets pointed out. But my point is 2 years down the line, are you going to be talking about 10 dominating wins? Or are people going to talk about the fact that Australia are champions? Be it the World Test Championship final or the World Cup. So that's why I wanted to ask a fan, Indian fan in you. Is it, like you said, it's unfair to, I completely agree also, to just say that, okay, they had a bad year. In hindsight, they have been the best team. If you look at number of matches won across formats. But isn't it also right on the other side? People who are not exactly people who are, let's say, not fans of India, but people who follow the sport, by actually saying, like, what has this team done, actually? In terms of you have not won a single ICC trophy in 10 years with the talent pool which you have. And teams like Australia who sleepwalk through half the World Cup. And then they wake up when it matters the most. And they win the tournament. So, just giving an example of the champions versus who came up second in the World Cup. But how do you look at this? Because people will not talk about India winning 10 matches in the World Cup. I'll be very honest. I'll myself forget that soon. I'll only remember who won the World Cup. So, how would you tackle that? Not criticism, that side of the coin in when it comes to this.
See, as an Indian fan, it is definitely hurting. And see, it's not just disappointment, right? We are investing our time and our money. And the players are earning in 8 digits and 9 digits.
Yeah.
So this is something that a little bit of more responsibility or they should have performed well. If you look at that point of view, and if you see, if the amount of investment should be equal to the performance on the field, then the amount of, take for example, America or China, the amount of money they invest into sports and the medals that they get might not equate the same, right? At the end of the day, what matters is how they play the game and who wins it. There are multiple variables and equations that go into a game. Hence, it is tough to just judge and tell that the mistake is on so and so person. See, as a fan of R. Ashwin, when he was left out for the finals, I was really disappointed. But it has been it has been a trend, or there might be some reason why he was left out in the finals. At the same time, he just played the first match against Australia in Chennai, and after that in the World Cup also he was left out. So during the World Cup, that could be a million reasons, but we can just at hindsight we can say anything, but it is really difficult to actually say so and so is the reason. They could have done well, but maybe the opposition played better on that day. That's it.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. You can't control. Only thing I would say about this is to the crows and crows of Indian fans out there. Like you have, as you rightly said in the start of this episode, you have a lot to be proud about because this team has dominated the World Cup. And to just see how well they played. And that's one common point I kept mentioning while I was watching the World Cup to my family or my friends, whoever I used to interact with. I kept harping on the fact that they needed to be tested. So that's two sides to that. So one side is, that's a valid point. They were never tested. Barring probably first game against Australia, where they were 24-3 and Mitchell Marsh dropped Kohli, and then Kohli made Australia pay. So as he does very often. So you can't give a Or as they say, as Harsha Bhogle also says, you can't give a player like Kohli a second sniff or a small chance. He'll make any opposition pay. So Australia is no different. And apart from that, I'm just thinking about the World Cup now. I don't think they were tested at all. So I think they were tested in the finals. So I think that is a issue here. So that should have been something which is under, like you said, we can't control. There are multiple reasons why certain things could have happened one way. But what I am wanted to bring to the listener's notice also is the fact that things could have been controlled. You could have, for example, when you know that you're winning matches at such will against many, let's say, even Pakistan for the matter, the way they would thrash them, or Sri Lanka or Afghanistan. Like, I'm just giving names, right? So we can, there should have been more experimentation done. Like, I'm with you with the fact that why do you pick Ashwin in the World Cup and play him only for one match? It doesn't suit a person of his stature, to be very honest. You could have stuck with Chahal. So you could have stuck with Chahal, who has been your number one spinner for 2 years in the build-up to the World Cup. But you decide to leave him out because he's not in good form. And bring in Ashwin. This is a great thing because I am a huge fan of Ashwin as well. So, sorry about it. So, I am a huge fan of Ashwin myself. So, I was really thrilled to see him play for India again in a world event. But I was having this sad thought in the back of the mind that they might pick him for probably two games. Chennai and the match against England, I guess. Yeah, against England at Lucknow, because those are the two pitches which assist spin the most. So, I actually went into the World Cup expecting two games that Ashwin would play, but he played only one, shockingly. So small things like that, where you are dominating teams, when you are playing a slightly lesser fancied opposition, why not try Ashwin? Why not bring in a Thakur? And just see what happens. Give Shami a rest. Maybe give Bumrah a rest. Or try out something else in the batting order. Like, because you're not going to get extra bonus points for, like IPL, let's say. You're not going to get extra cherry on the cake or something for finishing number one. You'll end up in the top four. It's about first versus fourth, second versus third. So you want to play the fourth team. So, you get a psychological edge by saying, okay, we are number one in the group stage. We are playing a team who is just qualified, just managed to reach the semis. So you have that psychological edge as you go to the semis. But apart from that, I don't see why India couldn't have. Because I clearly can admit on the podcast that they were leagues ahead of other teams. Yes, Australia had their brilliance in, let's say, matches they played, sorry, 12, I think. You had 10 league stages and 2 semis and finals. Out of 12, they were super wins 6 games. 6 games, they were like very average. And they managed to win 4 out of the 6. So that goes to show the mental tenacity that team has. Individual players can just push the team up. For example, Travis Head. He came back from injury and I'm sure you will remember the match, Australia and New Zealand in Dharamshala. He comes back from injury and he hits 100 of 60 balls. That just pushed the morale of the team up. And Warner gets 100. Australia hit 388. But New Zealand pushed them really deep. Again, as I said, Australia are not convincing winners. But at the end of the day, you look at the W or L. And it was a W. So that's what matters for them. They got 2 points. So it's that small things where you need to keep. That's where I felt like, yes, I wouldn't be mentioning this if India had won the World Cup, of course. But fact that they didn't win, biggest reason, in my opinion, is they never were tested. So, do you agree with my thesis about the India's thing? Or do you think it's why change a well-oiled machine kind of thing, that approach which many people feel. So I just wanted your opinion on this point.
Were they tested or not? This is a difficult question to answer, right? Because when do you say a team is tested? When a match goes into a last ball or a last over, and when it finishes, we can say it is tested. But more or less, yeah, they have not been pushed to that extent, I guess. So that could be the one concern for that. So yeah, that it could be one of the reasons. Also,
Sorry to
yeah.
interrupt, but the one point is, in the middle of the tournament, you lost Hardik Pandya to injury. So that changed the balance of the side. So they wanted to play five bowlers, and I think that's where Ashwin had to miss out. But my point is, even in that five-bowler concept, I personally feel, I'm just giving my personal opinion here, that you could have tried Thakur. If you are not Ashwin, you had Kuldeep Yadav weaving magic. It was a real treat to watch, I'll be very honest. Being a leg spinner in my playing days myself, so just to see him ball is a treat to the eye. The kind of tricks he has in his bags. And so if you are not convinced, to going back to my earlier point, if you are not convinced that Ashwin can do what, let's say, Jadeja or Hardik Pandya can do, as in offer 10 overs with the ball, score 30, 40 runs, field well, maybe Ashwin on the later side of the 30s, maybe the team management don't rate him on the fielding aspect as highly as a Pandya, let's say. I personally feel you could have incurred a bit with the balance of the side. That's the only thing. Because then you could have tested, probably to rephrase my earlier thing, you could have tested yourself by saying, okay, we don't have Jadeja today. We have only Kuldeep as a spinner. Let's see. Let's go with Thakur and see how it is. So, could have been the same, let's say, same result, same domination. But at least we know, okay, Thakur is in form. If something happened, or worst case scenario, because of the number of cricket, the matches played by the premier players of India, especially, even though there were matches for India where there was almost a week's gap between games. Even in the week's gap, let's assume Shami or Bumrah broke down. Then who's your backup? You don't know. We just go with people who are there in the squad and just hope that they'll do the job for them. So that's where other teams were much more better off. Although India dominated, no doubt. But I'm saying other teams tested. Like Australia bought in a C-Nabbett. England had to get everyone in their squad. It's a different story for them. They're not winning anything. So they had to bring everybody in. So each team, you look at each team that played the World Cup, if they had a horrible campaign or a very good one, they tested their 15-man strength. India didn't. India did only 12. Once Pandya left. So, personally, I felt the cup was lost there. And then on the day of the final, where clearly you could see strategically they were outclassed. So, that is the thing. Because, for example, Kohli and KL Rahul, they had that fear from the 25th over. What if we get out early? We don't know how Suryakumar Yadav can handle himself in ODIs. We don't want to leave too many overs for him and Jadeja to handle. So that fear led to a stretch where there was not a single boundary hit for 100 balls or so. I think I don't remember the exact stat, but I'm just, from rough memory, I'm just giving a number here. Probably, let's say 20 overs. There was not a single boundary. And I can bet there was no intent also to score a boundary. They're just happy taking the singles, blocking it off, trying to play off the spells. That's where Cummins' shrewd captaincy came into the picture, where he slipped in 2 overs of Mitchell Marsh, slipped in three overs of Travis Head. He slipped in 7 overs of Maxwell in a trot. So it's like, He finished that 10th over. It was like, it was very good to see. But yeah, I think that's what I think beyond this, like, about the World Cup, maybe done and dusted. I think Indian fans, it will take time, I think, for Indian fans and general public also, because many people are yet to get over the fact that Australia are champions again, sixth time. So anyway, the last year was not only about the World Cup. So I think we went too far into the World Cup. But anyways, just wanted your, let's take up IPL. Like you said, Indians have IPL looming large for them. So just your thought about how IPL 2023, the fifth time where CSK again went on to win the tournament, like your general assessment of that season. And I want to get your opinion, if you have any, about the mini auction which happened on December 19th, where Mitchell Stark was the highest ever paid IPL cricketer, 24 crores, 75 lakhs price. He was sold to KKR. So I just wanted your thought about IPL season, which went by now, CSK becoming the champions again, and what that means in general for CSK, for the legacy of Dhoni. So all, I want to hear your thoughts on that. And what does a mini auction like this do? Like, and we can get slightly in details about the mini auction maybe, but I'll just take it up after your analysis.
So if I have to remember what happened at the IPL, it is really very gloomy. Seems like very old. But whereas, yeah, it had been very good. We seem to have gotten some good talents. Me being a CSK fan, I can I'm glad that Dhoni is still playing, and there is a lot of hope that he'll continue to play in the next year as well. See, there seemed to be Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah. There seemed to be a very good positive team. More or less, what we have seen is the teams that managed to have a lot of successes, getting the right, balance in the team. The purchase of those two Sri Lankan fast bowlers has had proved to be like a gold mine for CSK. They had proved to be really good. Also, the Devon Conway's batting performance also turned up at the right time. Ruturaj Gaikwad has slowly been a very stable opening batsman. Hence, all these things have contributed well. There had been some stalwarts like Bravo and many like Raidu who also played this year. Although they even though they were they had fallen into a back space, those spaces have been filled right now, and it's slowly taking shape. Really glad that Rahane came into the team, and he turned up in a new whole new avatar. So that was really great to see. So overall, what I believe is with the kind of ingredients, with the kind of players that a team has at the time, if you're able to bring in the correct match to your opponents, you can win the game. That I believe is what is the secret of success. That goes for the for that goes that is the same for the Indian cricket team as well. They could be all match winners, they could all be really talented people, but at the same time, On that given day, they need to have a good matchup for the game that the opposition puts in place. That kind of balance should be there. Now we do see that there are a lot of expensive buys in the mini auction. It is something that, you know, it grabs attention of people all around the world, and it is an eye-catching thing. It all depends upon how people make use of those kind of opportunities. We have seen, as far as I've seen, most of the top expensive buys in the past have not gone on to last for a very long time. You can take that all-rounder from England. What is his name?
Sam Curran, Ben Stokes.
No.
Sam Curran.
Sam Curran.
18
yeah,
crores.
Yeah. So, it all depends upon how you perform on the day and how valuable the team are able to make use of you, because at the same time, just because of the price tag, the team management also shouldn't have the pressure of wanting to change the team configuration to match your price. That becomes a big burden on the management as well, so that kind of a stress should also not be there. So that is my thought on IPL. Yeah, I'm really glad that CSK won the game. I was traveling on the day of the finals and I was watching the match, and I just reached Salem that night. Just about midnight when I checked into a hotel, people started bursting crackers. So we had a break in between due to rain and restarted the game. So all those, yeah. So my phone battery also had died, and I was not able to follow the game. So just it was a night to remember for all the CSK fans. So that is something that was nice.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. And I think coming to the auction or IPL in general, so that how the dynamics works is completely recency based when it comes to auction, mini auction. If you look at Mitchell Starc and Pat Cummins, they have not played IPL for last 2 years. They put their name in the hat in the mini auction. One, because they are foreign players. They have that flexibility, which Indians don't. So that's one point. Second reason, and mainly why they put their names in the auction, is there is a T20 World Cup coming up next year. And what is the best way to understand how players from across the world play in the T20 setup than a tournament like IPL? So you need to look at it from a strategic brilliance point of view. It may not work out for KKR. Starc would be the most expensive bowler for them. Cummins may not play for SRH in all the games unless he is made the captain, I guess. So he absolutely agree with you. The price tag will not be matched by the skill or quality, but it's a masterstroke from the players, I would say, to put their name in the hat, because they know franchises are going to jump. Travis said, like, I was shocked that Hasaranga got bought for 1 crore, 50 lakh, or Rachin Ravindra for that matter. CSK almost quietly just stole a player without any fuss. So that's the brilliance of CSK again. Even the auctions, they just went hard only for one player, Daryl Mitchell, because they wanted to fill the gap. As Perfetti said, Raidu is not playing anymore. So they wanted a like-for-like replacement. Somebody who can play spin well, who is experienced, who can probably even chip in with few overs when they play at Sepak. And there you go. Daryl Mitchell has a fantastic World Cup, has a fantastic year across formats. And most importantly, as many people said, he hit India for... he hit 200s against India. So that helps. They'll play, okay, this guy can play. If he can hit Indian bowlers for 100, that means there is something in him. So amazing. Just to see the auction dynamics play out, it's like amusing, bemusing, funny, and statistically good also. I think all mix of everything else. So it's a fun, it's a good time pass, I would say, in my opinion. Because there are teams who don't know what to do with the money there. Punjab, to a large extent, Delhi, even Hyderabad, they just bought whoever they wished. And as you perfectly said, they don't know which combination is going to turn up on the given day. They have so many players with international stature, fame, and they can play only four. So that is the problem. So it's like, it's a confusing thing. They should, in my opinion, they should control the number of purchases in a mini auction. Actually, they should not have a mini auction, but I think too much money is at stake. So they won't stop that. Mini auction will happen. But because you need to give the fans a chance, that's what I strongly feel. Give the fans a chance to build loyalty towards the team. Like, it's very easy for CSK and MA, and to a large extent, RCB. They have such a strong fan base. RCB, for example, despite not winning a trophy so far in IPL, but they have a huge fan base. So they will actually support the team even if Kohli leaves, I guess, once Kohli stops playing. So it's that kind of... But other teams where they're struggling more than performances is to build that loyalty. So you need to give 3 years. You need to give a David...
Since we're just running out of time, can I summarize?
Yes. Sure, sir. Please, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. So it has been a roller coaster of a ride. A lot of action we had in the Cricket World Cup as well as IPL. And going back to the Border Gavaskar Trophy that happened in the starting of the year, it could have been great if Australia had put up a fight. And having lost two Border Gavaskar Trophies at the start at home, it would have been nice had Australia come here with a better prepared team. Although India has now been the reigning champions of the Border Gavaskar Trophy for the last four or five trophies.
Four attempts, correct.
Yeah. So, and also the World Championship also was won by Australia. So overall, it has been it has been a roller coaster ride for a lot of people. A lot of action has happened in the cricketing field. This upcoming year also, we seem to have a lot of action coming up. And I look forward to hearing and speaking in many more episodes of Cricket Unplugged. Thank you, Raghav, and thank you to all the listeners.
Yeah, thank you, Mayur, for rebooting Cricket Unplugged. And yes, great year. And I would say, on a personal front, only sink in the armor for Australia is to beat India now. Apart from that, they have done everything. And before I sum up this episode, it's a year of Patrick Cummins. He has won the World Cup for Australia. He has retained the Ashes for Australia. He has won the World Test Championship. And he just passed a milestone, that is 250 Test wickets at the age of 26 or 27. So he can't do anything wrong. So it's the year of Patrick Cummins. I think we need to celebrate him more. I guess IPL will help in that when he plays.